love a request that comes in that says, this is what we're trying to get across. Like, this is the message. Maybe a few hook ideas. And then maybe 3 points about what exactly we want you to talk about in this ad. Without that really specific, like, the goal is this, the message is this, it's easy to make the ad too general. And then you're kind of trying to hit a bunch of points. Realistically, the viewer is going to get bored. Like, they don't want to hear all that stuff. So when the media buyer request comes in and they're pretty clear with this is the end goal and this is more or less the vibe of how we want it to be, how we want it to sound, how we want it to look, having that in there is really important. Then I can kind of just like massage it in and make an ad that makes sense and is organic and doesn't feel like I'm a robot.
If you haven't yet used Motion, the creative analytics platform used by top e-com and D2C brands like Fiori, True Classic, The Farmer's Dog, Hexclad, and hundreds more to ship winning ads, here's why you should try it out. Everyone knows that the right creative is the number one lever for success with paid ads. That's how you make money. But consistently shipping new winning creative? You're going to need your media buyers and your creative teams on the same page. Right now, you're probably spending hours tiring away going back and forth between Google Sheets and your ad platforms and tools, and then spending even more time plugging it all into different decks for the rest of your team. In a perfect world, you could have an elegant way to combine visual assets and performance data so media buyers can save time and creative teams can get the details they need to make great ads all in one place. And that's where Motion comes in. In seconds, you can build powerful visual reports using data from your ad accounts. You can monitor your performance metrics and see your visual assets in the same platform. No need to go back and forth across multiple apps. You'll finally have media buyers and creative teams working together to create and scale your next big winner. If you're ready to learn how the best D2C and e-commerce brands use Motion to ship winning Meta, TikTok, and YouTube ads, book a demo today or start a free trial at motionapp.com/DTC. Even better, Motion offers a monthly subscription plan so you can dodge those annoying annual contracts. Get 50% off your first month when you use the link motionapp.com/DTC on signup. It's All Killer No Filler. I'm Eric, and I'm here with Spencer and Marina from our TikTok team. We're just starting this interview by just like talking about how much we just love this app. And I think just from a personal standpoint, you know, you both are, you know, Marina, you're a creator and you've got your creator with Pilot House and then independently as well. So you were saying you spend a lot of your time on that. But even just from a personal standpoint, it's just such a great app. Can we start with a little TikTok appreciation? You guys appreciate TikTok, right?
I love TikTok.
Dangerously so, for sure.
Yeah, like I don't want to share how much my screen time really is, to be honest with you, but yeah, I can't help it. It's just part of my life now.
I just saw Morning Brew tweet and they were talking, they talked about how TikTok is now, like, I think in the US it's the number one app that people spend time on. I think it was like 90 minutes a day, which is like, we got to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers. but they were saying that they were both surprised that TikTok was the number one. But the more surprising thing was that people are still finding a way to spend 60 minutes a day on Facebook, which I'm like, I don't even know. Like, Facebook is now just I just post pictures of my daughter that I posted a long time ago for my few relatives. And that's really the only reason I use Facebook at this point.
No, like I literally only use it for Marketplace, actually. I do love Marketplace. Yeah. But other than that, I'm never checking anything. I'm like, if you're posting on Facebook, I'll never see it.
And you know what I like better than Marketplace? I like TikToks about people that do silly things on Marketplace.
Even better.
Nice. Well, aside from the fact that we all love TikTok, we're going to talk today about working with creators, like creating a great bond between creators and media buyers when it comes to generating creative. Just like Meta Creative is the fuel that fires the success on these platforms. Spencer, kick us off and let's talk about how media buyers can be more efficient. Efficiency is the big buzzword across all platforms in 2024. So how can media buyers and creators be more efficient?
It's a huge lever that brands can use in terms of not only, obviously we all know that working with creators is sometimes like the life force of the actual brand. It's the content that's being made, but it at times can not only be difficult to do that, but can be very expensive. So I'm going to speak as a media buyer. We obviously work with the brands that come and work with us at Pilot House, and we kind of facilitate all the creative requests and everything. And I'm going to speak as the media buyer, but then if you are a brand owner working on it yourself, you can absolutely 100% apply this to your own work. And really what I'm wanting brands to take away from this is that it's not as difficult or expensive to get the content that you need for your ads to be posted on TikTok and actually start generating you some sales. And that's mainly also what we're going to be talking about is more the ad side versus the creative side. And the range in prices can go pretty crazy. We've brought on Marina. Pato's been working with Marina for a really long time. She makes phenomenal content for us and has also done a great job of, like, from her extremely talented content creation side, has been able to apply that to the weird requests that we might be sending her way. You know, it's not always her style or the kind of content that she'll post to her own organic feed, but she's able to find a way that actually fits the content that our brands are looking for and that the media buyers are looking for. A big thing that I'll talk about is that if you work with creators and especially on TikTok, you ask them to post organically to then, you know, just see if sales come from that or you want to do the Spark ads, they can be pretty expensive. They're really expensive versus even just posting on TikTok for the follower counts that they have. And, you know, sometimes it's merited, sometimes maybe not so much. I would lean towards the not so much, not because the content isn't valuable or anything like that. I'm strictly speaking about the hit rate of that content within our ad space. And when it comes to the hit rate that we're looking for, we would rather lean away from, okay, let's see if we can hit a bullseye with this, ask for a really refined piece of one piece of content. How can we actually get this creator to make 3, 5, 8 creatives from that same request? And then that allows us, instead of trying to nail the bullseye with one hit, we have those 8 to try to do. And a lot of the times it does just come down to the request and the creator knowing that for the quality that somebody like Marina is able to create, that we have to go, okay, back up. We want to utilize your time as best you can. And we also want to get the most content back within our budget. That'll effectively be the nice little middle ground between what Marina is able to create and what we can get for that same price and actually still test effectively.
Makes a ton of sense. When you give more options, you allow someone like Marina to bring what she brings, you know, to satisfy what the advertiser wants, and then allow Marina to bring what she brings to the table. Marina, I said this in the last time you came on the podcast, but I've been following you since your Roll Up the Rim content. It's funny. I was just bought a hot chocolate for my daughter, and I forgot about that you no longer roll up the rim to win. You got to go online. And I was like, so disappointed again, that this is what Tim Hortons has come to.
I'm still mad about that too, honestly.
Super choked. Doesn't make sense. No. Your creator career has gone on a lot since then. What are some of these, like, give me an example of some of, like, how requests come to you in ways that you kind of have to massage?
Yeah, I think, like what Spencer was saying, sometimes the organic content that I post is definitely going to be different than what the ads are going to be like that I make. But the sweet spot is kind of combining those two things together, because organic posts can be, I don't know, maybe like a little bit less energy, sometimes really personal, but ads have a certain way that they want to be structured, some certain things you have to say, etc. But I think the biggest thing when I get requested as a creator is not to be too rigid on structure of the ad, so that I have a little bit of freedom to kind of like work the magic in the way that I would do an organic post. Because as soon as people find out that it's an ad and you're like reading a script is when you're going to lose the viewer, basically, right? So I get a lot of different types of requests. Sometimes they're word for word structured. Sometimes they're really general. And what I like to do is I just read it through, think of what would I post on organic, space it up a little bit to be geared towards ads more. And then that's how I kind of like go about it. So yeah, it's a little bit of mixing the organic experience that I have and being on TikTok all day, as we discussed. I see a lot of different ideas all the time, and I keep those in the back of the mind of how I can apply that to ads too. And then getting that like sweet spot of a little bit of an organic flair, but also keeping in mind everything the brand wants me to say in the ad and mixing that together.
I just keep seeing that Chick-fil-A girl. I feel like we need to work the Chick-fil-A sauce girl into our ads a little bit more, because she's just blowing up.
So true.
Okay. And then so also with the creative, we got to really define, you've got a note here about what the brand is actually looking to test, whether they want views, engagement, sales. I guess that is TikTok different? Like when you're on Meta, you're running Meta ads, you're almost always running to that purchase objective. You're almost always trying to drive to that purchase. Because TikTok is more of this organic content platform, are you going for other objectives besides just driving to the purchase?
Good question. From the media buyer side, it obviously does range in terms of what the brand is looking for. We're pretty much at Pilot House, we're pretty much always looking for sales. But then within that, it's still really valuable to tell the creator like what is like the key thing being tested within that creative. Because we have like all these ideas in our mind. We have like this smoky view of what our winning creative looks like. And beyond just sharing that winning creative over and just saying, yeah, redo this. It can be very valuable to actually call out the specifics of, hey, this first 3 seconds has done a phenomenal job at raising our average watch time. And if you can focus on that first 3 seconds and even request, you know, 4 different ways to do the opening shot, and that our goal for this creative is actually to get our average watch time up past X, and then everything else past that is kind of up to the creator. That's obviously one example. Another one, just a bit more simplistically, is like we really find that with this product, calling out this this value proposition or this part of the product works like phenomenally well. If you can put that in the first 3 seconds, that is going to be what's working, opposed to us having this smoky view in our mind and then just hoping that the creator does it. A good creative that gets back to us is like the good pairing between the creator actually being able to create great content, and that just kind of comes down to your creator sourcing and just like working with people consistently, and then the actual good request.
And what goes into a good request? Like how much detail do you need in a good request? Because I guess you kind of get the request from the brand in a lot of ways. The brand has an objective. They may have a prerogative or content they want to test, but then you want to filter that through the media buyer to the creative. So what makes a really good content request?
Yeah, for me, I love a request that comes in that says, this is what we're trying to get across. Like, this is the message. Maybe a few hook ideas, but it could be like something like this, make it your own, whatever makes sense for you. And then maybe 3 points about what exactly we want you to talk about in this ad or what we want you to show. And then again, kind of like work that in as you want it so that it feels really natural. I also love a request that comes in with a visual example, whether it just be, we liked the pace of this ad, we liked the vibe that this person is, like how they're speaking. Everything like that, I can get an idea of, okay, this is where I need to take it. Because without that really specific, like the goal is this, the message is this, sometimes it's easy to make the ad too general. And then you're kind of trying to hit a bunch of points. Realistically, the viewer is going to get bored. Like they don't want to hear all that stuff. So when the media buyer request comes in and they're pretty clear with this is the end goal, and this is more or less the vibe of how we want it to be, how we want it to sound, how we want it to look, then that makes a really great request because you have enough freedom to do what you want, but you're still knowing that you're hitting all the right points in something that's going to be hopefully successful because those are the ideas that the media buyer has for you to create and then wants to run that ad. So it's an outline, but like 3 main points in the body of like mention this, this, and this, do it in that order. You know, we've been seeing success in other ads if we mention this first, for example. Like those are things that I wouldn't know. So having that in there is really important. And then I can kind of just like massage it in, as we just said before, and make an ad that makes sense and is organic and doesn't feel like I'm a robot.
Another thing on the topic that kind of comes back to like the overarching topic of just getting back efficient creative is that we are asking Marina to make quite a bit of content really consistently. And so regardless, she's going to be working for that, you know, hour and just try to get it out. Let's just say she's like going to try to get out as much content as possible over the hour. If we can make that way simpler and she knows, okay, I just need to get this piece of creative and then all the variety comes with like the first 20%, then she can plan for that. She knows what's being requested. And then when it kind of comes to making the video, she doesn't have to make assumptions or whatever that might take more time or be off from what we're actually requesting. So when it comes down to it, we just want her to understand what we're actually requesting and just feel really comfortable to produce that very quickly. And we definitely have strategies or like little tips on how to get that content shot really, really strategically. That's mainly on Marina's side. She's definitely the expert.
Nice. What would be your best tips for producing refined pieces, Marina?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down, well, TikTok is very visual, as we know. So really making sure that you get the most beautiful parts of whatever you're filming in the content, I cut out any dead space. Like, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to hear a gap in the sound. We want everything to be fast, kind of like everything you're seeing in those 30 seconds of an ad or less, let's say, is gold for you. Like, you're eating it up, basically. But I have some tips too to make the fast content too. Like, I think having a lot of B-roll already on your phone is like a content creator's gold mine, basically. I film all day long, no matter what I'm doing, even if it's not branded content. If I just buy flowers, I'm like, oh, this is good to have in the camera roll. So I have clips that are ready to go too, so that it makes it faster for me when I'm editing things together. It also kind of gives like an organic feel sometimes. And then, yeah, it's just about kind of piecing that all together, making sure your script is accurate and engaging all the way through. I also like to write out what I'm going to say a little bit before, and so that it's in my natural voice too, so that when I record a voiceover or something, it sounds like me, but it's still getting all the points across. I'm not missing anything. And yeah, I kind of just put it all together. And then at the end, we do a little last look and see what I need to fix up or what's boring, let's say. I like to give it a few minutes in between and watch it over again and say like, oh, is that nice or is that not necessary? Also, the order of the clips is really important too. I always like to start off any video with something that's the most engaging visually, and then kind of go from there. So it's a lot about mixing all those things together, but really about focusing on the best pieces of content that you have and cutting that so that the whole entire ad has only the best pieces in it and nothing, no like boring things, basically.
One of the things I hear from brands that basically maybe rather than going with this sort of fully aligned media buyer creator approach, there's a lot of, unlimited UGC things. And I've talked to a number of brands that have signed up for packages like that. And they end up finding that the creators or the UGC, the people just don't get, they just don't really get the crux of like what makes the product great, or they don't get what they're trying to go for with the brand. And so it's like, don't invest it. Like, don't waste your time with that, right? Like, make sure that you're working with a team that's fully aligned on, you know, in a process like this. Otherwise, it's kind of a waste of time.
Oh, 100%. That's why working with, you know, us at Pilot House, like, we have people ready to go, all of our creators ready to create what you actually want. And you're not going to be wasting your time and getting back content that has no value. That's like, your point is missed. There's honestly nothing worse than spending time, even as a creator, creating content, and then the brand on the other side is like, oh, this is fully not the point. And so it's like, we want to be aligned, and cutting that out just makes everything so much easier, so much more efficient. And then you'll get the product that you need and want at the end.
And the options that you mentioned. So I was just watching on TikTok this morning. I was watching a clip from the movie about that rap group in the 90s. It's got Eazy-E. And so Eazy-E was like rapping the first line of his song, and he did it four times and it sounded like garbage. And then he just changed the emphasis on a different syllable. And that is what, then it just was fire. Then as soon as he used the right emphasis on the syllable, it changed it and it made it iconic, kind of thing. So I think having those variations, because you never really know what's going to hit or what's going to really grab people too, right?
Yeah, true. We make a lot of ads with different hooks. Like, it'll be the same body and then I'll do three different hooks and we'll kind of see what works from there too. So having those options to test also is really great for the media buyers.
Yeah. On the brand side as well. Like, obviously finding and changing out those opening hooks obviously can change the performance of that ad dramatically. In terms of like another layer to that, which is really the first step, is actually like finding the creator. One thing that I would recommend is, if you do have the ability to find like 3 to 5 creators that are willing to get you a small batch of creative just for ads, not only will you be able to obviously test out a variety of different content, but pretty much exactly like you're saying, Eric, it's just like, sometimes there's something about the creator that users can feel. There's like a genuineness to some people. There's the way that they say the content, and it's going to get better over time of working with a creator. Some have a bit more experience, some not, but sometimes you do have to test out a couple different creators. And the data will kind of speak for itself. And it's not, it doesn't always come down to, you know, the media buyer going and running some test with 15 headlines, then finding what hooks the best. There is kind of some kind of magic that comes down to the creator that users can feel. And on the early days of working with creators. And if you're trying to find some, I would try to keep the requests pretty similar. And then there's just something that we can't really put our finger on that is worth continuing working with that creator. There's kind of like, that is the level number one. And, you know, just to use Marina as an example, that content like passed some of those like first steps of like, oh, this is a very competent and a very competent creator, feels genuine on screen, which is huge. And then there kind of comes down to the next layers of hopefully they like working with you. And then do you like working with them? Because you're kind of, you're investing in these creators as much as they're investing their time in you. And you're trying to make that worth it. So make it easy for them. They'll make it easy for you. You got to find a partnership. It's like an employee. You know, you want them working for your business in a smooth way. And I would definitely recommend people think about it as a long-term investment.
And Marina, are you full-time with Pilot House or are you on contract, or how does it actually work? And think about like how a brand should be looking at, should brands at a certain point be looking at bringing on a full-time suite of creators part-time? How do we handle it, Pilot House?
Yeah. So I'm full-time now. I was part-time before, but demand has grown and I love creating content. So I love working full-time with Pilot House now. I think it's really important to have somebody kind of like either, you know, in-house for a brand, or you work with somebody like us where you have access to a bunch of different creators ready to go, because content is so important. And also just like the volume of it is important. So if you want to get a lot out, a lot of like often and fast, then you definitely need people ready to go. Sometimes I think contracting people makes it a little bit slower. Another thing that's good about working with brands like I do at Pilot House is like I have all the product ready. It's already in my apartment. You know, you don't have to ship it out. So you don't have to wait for those long shipping times in between too. And yeah, I think it's really important to have either one creator or a few, like Spencer said too. It definitely depends on who you're working with. And also the creator has to resonate with the target audience of whatever the product is or the service. So trying out a few different ones is great too. But I do think it's important to work closely and long-term with a few creators. And if you want a lot of content fast and easily and efficiently, then it's really great to have somebody ready to go at all times.
Very cool. I wanted to ask, have you, like, because you're creating so much content and you create, you know, you have content that goes viral on your own handle. What's the most successful ad we've ever created? And when we have a really successful ad, does it have organic legs on top of the paid side of things? Like, have we ever created something that for an ad that actually has organic legs as well?
I think so. I know that one of the ads that I've made that has done really well was like a green screen for a jewelry brand. And it would be something that I could post on my organic page as well, where it's just like, the reason why I think it did so well too is I'm just saying like, wow, this is really beautiful. I would wear this. I love this. And I'm speaking like super naturally about the product. I think those are the type of ads that always seem to hit the most, and something that I could even like post on my own page and it would work too. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. Like that's how I was talking about at the beginning, like blending those two things together.
And then Marina, how dialed in? We talk all the time about design, like on the meta side, about designers or creatives and media buyers kind of being on the same skis, looking at the same data. As a creator, how dialed are you into the actual performance of the creative that you make?
I'm not always so dialed in, actually. Like sometimes I'll make an ad and I think like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And then, you know, if I didn't hear anything back from the media buyer, then I'm like, okay, maybe not. Sometimes I do know when the next ticket comes in and I see, you know, they say, oh, this one crushed, like here are the stats, you know, let's do something similar to that. And then we're iterating off of winners. It's definitely not everything that hits every single time, but when it does, like they'll let you know. And then you definitely know because you're making other ads that are similar to that too. So it's good to know. And it's funny, actually, sometimes when you think, oh, this might have hit like on my organic page, but it didn't do the same in ads. Or sometimes like the more scrappy, the better also, like where I'm making something that doesn't take as much time, maybe as something that's a little bit more polished. And then that ends up hitting on TikTok. So it's really funny. You never know, I guess, but it's cool to know when something does hit, and then you can kind of dissect and see, okay, why did this work? And let's make some new versions of that too.
And then Spencer, from the buyer side, it is more on a sort of need to know basis. You're not sending reams of data across. It's really just letting the creator know what hit and maybe what didn't.
Yeah. Things usually get back to the creator just within the requests. It's not something that usually gets like shuffled down in terms of getting into the weeds of how the performance actually did, probably for the better. There's definitely could always be opportunity for like more calls. And a lot of the time pointing out things that we feel didn't work. Like we do look at the data all the time. We do look at the creative all the time, especially if within like high contrast tests. If you just see that one average watch time is half of what it was before, of the rest of the pool, we can take a fairly good guess as to what it is, especially if there's just some very clear contrast for that one. And then we do kind of have calls every once in a while with creators like Marina and just run through these things that we typically see doing well or not. But things mainly kind of get back through the content requests. And if there are those real standouts that, you know, we want them to get away from, then we have to absolutely add that in.
I think it's important just to know when something does really well or when something does really badly. And then you can see, okay, so don't do that, or this was amazing, do more of this. Otherwise, I don't really need to know like all the in-between stuff, but it's important for me to know those like highs and lows.
Do we use a specific template for content requests, or is it just basically a Google Doc or an email?
We have a ticket creator request queue through ClickUp. It's people write tickets all different ways. Sometimes it's just bullet points. Sometimes it's linked to a whole video screen recording of them explaining what they want and showing what they want to be shown on the websites. Or sometimes it's a Google Doc with like a whole entire script. So kind of all over the place. Mostly I would say though, it's just a few bullet points and a few like direct quotes that people want us to use.
Very cool. Well, where TikTok is an aptly named app, because it feels like the clock is right now, it's ticking and talking on this, the very life of this app, which is kind of crazy in the US right now. We're in Canada, so we think we might have a slight reprieve. I can't imagine they're going to, like, it's the number one social app in North America right now with a bullet in terms of the amount of time people spend on it. I can't really fathom a world where it gets taken down. Just even from an electoral stand, we don't talk about politics on this podcast, but he's going to piss off so many of his voters if he takes TikTok away from people. That's not going to be good for his chances, I think.
No, like I don't understand it at all. I don't understand it from a business perspective. I don't understand it from a creator perspective. I mean, entertainment wise, I get together with influencers all the time at different events and stuff. And we've been talking about this recently. And we're just like, I can't imagine a world without it now. So I don't know. But yeah, hopefully at least Canada will be in the clear. So we'll see. But I don't know. I can't see it happening personally. We'll have to kind of see how it goes, I guess.
Seems like a bit of a nitpick. Like half of our stuff is made in China already. All of our microchips are made in China. Like we're kind of already beholden. There probably has never been a better data mining app than TikTok. You have to admit, like when it comes to it, you know, knowing exactly what your facial expressions are every time you're watching a video, like the amount of data that it's actually pulling and the volume of data it's getting from me, given my screen time on the app. I get it. But Joe, if you're listening, just don't take TikTok away from us. You agree, Spencer?
<Don't do it.
laughs> Yeah. It would be pretty crazy if it did end up going through the next few steps to eventually try and force like the sale of TikTok. Like Maria said, we're just going to have to see how it goes. It's not the first time that it's been put in front of the house. And I'm sure that you could assume that TikTok's going to be fighting it back tooth and nail, because, you know, there's definitely still some questions to be asked, but TikTok has ruffled enough feathers. Maybe it's just too good. Maybe all those microchips and all those other products just aren't quite good enough, and TikTok was just too good.
I don't think they're ever going to sell it either. Like, I think it'll be, I don't think TikTok would ever sell to a US company. So I think there's going to be a real impasse here.
Yeah, because actually, like, the CEO, like, posted a video, like, the TikTok CEO. I don't know if you guys saw that. And he was, like, you know, saying how they basically didn't want to sell it and how TikTok is for the people, et cetera. And everyone in the comments was like, I'm rarely on the side of a CEO, but I trust you. So we'll have to see. But yeah, it doesn't seem like they want to sell, that's for sure.
He does seem very nice, that TikTok CEO. So, well, we'll just have to wait and see. I don't think none of us have a lobbying firm. So we'll just keep making our content, running our ads, and watching our TikToks. And if you want to work with Marina and Spencer on TikTok, just reach out at Pilot House, pilothouse.co. Get on board. It's just like the amount of, like, TikTok is just such a prerogative. We talk about it every time you guys come on, but like most people who are addicted to the internet are most addicted to TikTok. And so that's where your customers are. And so you got to be there too.
The big takeaway, just make content. That's pretty much it.
Make content. That's right. Find your way. All right. I'm going to shoot one right now. Thanks, guys. This was fun.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all-killer, no-filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.